Today on Compassion Radio.
A simple phone call that no one else is going to bear witness, that might look like nothing is happening. Jesus redefined everything. You know, you say whatever, murder is this. I say in your heart, You say adultery is this. And I think what he would say to our generation is, you say meaningful is this. I say it's these small, ordinary, supposedly unseen meaning interactions. That's where meaning, true meaning and true significance lie.
Absolutely.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Today, Bram's wife Sandy connects with Amy Young of Velvet Ashes, a ministry whose purpose is to connect the hearts of women who are separated by geography but bound together by a life of serving overseas. Amy and her team are uniquely qualified to serve as mentors to these women because they themselves have lived that life and have learned what it takes to thrive in it. This is Frank Montenegro, and here's Sandy with part one of that conversation.
Well, today I get the honor and privilege of introducing to our Compassion Radio listeners a new friend of mine. This is a gal that I met a few months ago when traveling with the missions team as Mara, who many of you know that I've traveled with over the last year and a half. And I got to meet this special gal in Costa Rica back in April, and her name is Amy Young, and I am so thrilled, Amy, to have you on Compassion Radio. So welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Sandy. I'm just so excited to be here and to get to chat with you and get to meet your listeners.
Well, they're going to be excited to meet you once they hear about the ministry that you are involved with. Before we get started, we jump into the ministry of Velvet Ashes, which is what the ministry is called. I would like for you to just give your back history, a little bit of your story to our listeners so they can know who you are and possibly what led you up to being involved with this ministry and at the very foundation of this ministry and how that launches you into your passion and what you do with Velvet Ashes. So just tell us a little bit about who Amy is and where you come from in your story.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It's always fun to tell your story, isn't it? It's just a privilege to get to share. I am a Colorado girl who moved to Kansas and went to the University of Kansas. And it was when I was an undergraduate that God called me to the mission field, which was very shocking. And I think anyone, whether you've been called to the mission field or not, can relate to a time in your life when God just pivoted your heart towards something. And you're like, oh, okay. All right. Because for me, it was in a university dormitory cafeteria.
Okay.
Which, could there be anything less sexy?
Exactly. Than a dormitory? Not a spiritual place at all, is it?
No, but that's just what's so exciting, that God can work and speak anywhere. And so he just told me, you're going to teach English as a second language as a ministry opportunity. So I went to a missions conference called Urbana. I bet a lot of people have heard of it.
Absolutely.
This was Urbana when it was still in Urbana, which I understand it's outgrown and is now in St. Louis. And it was at Urbana I learned about going to, I knew Asia, but I was like, God, you know my heart, you know me. I don't really know the difference, you know, between Vietnam and Korea and China. So when I'm there, you just lay on my heart what I'm supposed to do and I'll do it.
Wow.
Okay. So while at that conference, I just really sensed God say China. And in classic, wonderful God fashion, he was like, and here's a little bit more information. So I left that conference knowing I needed to get my master's in ESL. I needed to make an initial 2-year commitment and I would go to China.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, that's enough. Like, that's enough marching orders to get started. So I went home, started on my master's degree, finished my master's degree. During that 2 summers, I did go to China on summer programs to kind of feel out, you know, did I hear correctly? Because I'm willing to go anywhere, God. And if I misheard, I don't have to move to China. I can move somewhere else. But it just completely confirmed that that's where I was supposed to be.
Okay.
One funny story was the end of my first summer. I just cried and cried and cried. I bawled and bawled. And I did not find out until later that my teammates thought I was crying so much because I had fallen in love with one of my students.
Oh, no.
And it was so funny because I was like, oh, no, I was crying because I'd fallen in love with China.
Absolutely.
Who did you see me hanging out with? Nobody.
Like, a little bigger picture there.
Right. So that is, so I was like, so came home, finished my master's degree, taught junior high math for a few years, just kind of getting all the ducks in order to move. And then in 1995, I moved full time and I lived in China. I taught English to technically university students, but these were adult education, okay. But they were Chinese students. So mm-hmm. I was a full-time English teacher for 5 years. And I then moved into leadership with my organization and helped then. My job was the curriculum director. And I helped people who were new to the field how to teach English in Asia.
Okay.
So I worked with people going to all different countries, Mongolia, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia.
And is it different then for the different countries? Or is there just a basic way to do things and then you just kind of learn by fire when you get to the country of choice?
Yeah, it's basic. The thing I would say it's different is ESL is English as a second language where you are in an English environment. So mm-hmm. ESL would be in America, Canada, New Zealand,
okay.
England. EFL is English as a foreign language.
Okay.
So you're going into Mongolia in teaching English, where obviously okay. English isn't a second language.
Okay. It's I think not that's, a native yeah, language. I think that's an important distinction, which is one that I really didn't know. So that makes a lot more sense now that in an English speaking environment, English would be your second language to come in and learn
right.
so that you
right.
could function better in that society. But EFL is a foreign language. You're in your native country, probably in right. your native country, and then you learn English just as a bonus language or as a second language to
yeah.
kind of maybe in trade or getting by in other ways. Okay.
Yeah, and from an education point of view, you know, ESL is different because they're in that environment. So you can say, go talk to a shopkeeper, listen to the television, read mm-hmm. the newspaper.
Right.
Whereas in EFL, it is more you as the teacher are having to create the environment, create the situations, bring the resources, mm-hmm. those sort of things.
Okay.
I will say every country is different, but there's enough similarities between, we were in mostly closed access countries.
Mm-hmm.
So being a missionary is not legally allowed in any of those environments, but going in on a work visa.
Okay.
And so since we were invited in every country that my organization worked with to be English teachers, we were invited by the different governments.
Mm-hmm.
It was really important to me as a Christian that if we're going in invited as teachers, we need to be the best teachers we can be.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
A survey a while back revealed that the average household in America has 4.4 Bibles in it, with some homes containing 6, 7, 8, or even more copies of God's Word. And that's wonderful. But did you know that there are places in the world where people have never even seen a Bible? That means they are literally starving for the essential life-giving power of the Scriptures. As you may also know, we've done many successful Bible projects over the years at Compassion Radio. This has helped to place over 500,000 of them with believers, pastors, and evangelists. And now as this year wraps up, we are so excited to tell you about our 2018 year-end Compassion Radio Bibles Project. It begins this month, and it is unique in one very important way. For the first time ever, Compassion Radio and this campaign are being underwritten so that every single dollar raised for Bibles goes to that project. Think about that. It's the biggest matching gift challenge we've ever offered at Compassion Radio, and there is no limit to this offer. The more you give, the more goes to the field and the front lines of gospel outreach. So please, pray big with us about this, and then act exactly as the Lord shows you. Make this challenge known to your family and friends. Talk to your pastor, your Sunday school class, small group, or home fellowship. Bring it to your benevolence or missions committee. Pray about where the Lord might have you share this unique opportunity. This year, let's saturate the world with God's Word like never before. If you'd like to help place a Bible or a Gospel of John into the hands of someone who has never seen the Word of God before and wants it in the countries of India, Nepal, and China, please contact us right now. The number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also give at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word Bibles to 53445. That's Bibles to 53445. And you can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Just be sure to put Bibles Project in the memo on your check. Thank you so very much for anything you can do this month to help us in our efforts to get the Word of God out to those who need it and want it the most. God bless.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Your students are going to pick up on if you're taking your teaching seriously.
Right.
And so all of what we were involved with was very relational ministry with students. And so I just knew if teachers are less stressed about teaching and then enjoying what they're doing in the classroom more, that's going to pour out into their relationships with students and give opportunities to just life on life and then share the gospel, or if someone's a believer, just continue on in that continuum of discipleship and growth and maturity in faith.
You know, Amy, I'm really glad you said that, because I think we need to be reminded that it's very important to give our best for the Lord, regardless of our line of work or what we feel our calling is, and not to do things half-hearted, but to do it for as if working for the Lord, and making that our calling can be part of our vocation, and to use that in a way that is glorifying to the Lord and is drawing people into the kingdom, and doing it in such a way that it shows excellence and it gives honor where honor is due to the Lord and to those people that we serve. I think it's super important to make that known and to be reminded of that. Because I think oftentimes it's like taking our stuff to the thrift store. Sometimes we just, I don't need this anymore, so I'm just going to, it's a cast off in some ways. We don't want to do that for the kingdom. We want to make it such a beautiful picture of God's glorious kingdom that they are drawn to it and attracted to it in a different way.
Yeah. Well, and even just to move beyond, it's just them over there doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We all can do it. As I lived in China and I wrote monthly newsletters home, I really felt part of my calling even was in my newsletters to just show people like what I am doing is unique because I am unique. It is not unique that what we each do is unique because we are each unique.
Mm-hmm.
It is not China that makes what I'm doing, quote unquote, valuable.
Right.
It's because this is where God has me right now. And you can do the same, you know, talk to the people as you're shopping, as you're at the, you know, one of the big things in China, you'd get like your little egg lady. She'd always go to the same person to buy eggs.
Okay.
And sort of build that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'd have your fruit lady. You always bought your apples from the same lady and just nurture relationships. And I know some of my friends who've come back, that's kind of one of the things they've missed is I don't have this special relationship with anyone at the store.
Right.
And they've just decided I'm going to pick a cashier and then that is my cashier. And I will always go to that person's lane. Even if it's really long, I'm going to develop that relationship and to just begin to not live so much on autopilot wherever you are and to go, I can foster relationships. And even if I'm only here for 3 weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or even to be in such a hurry that we don't take the time to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I like that. I think that's a great idea. I'm going to take that to heart myself, you know, because I sometimes get myself in such a hurry that I got to get in and out of the grocery store and I got to, you know, hurry up and do this and that. And I fail to really see the people that I'm coming in contact with. It's just a good reminder for me as well.
Well, me too. I'm a very lovely but competitive person. And it's funny, these little secret competitions I'll have with myself. Yeah, can I get the closest parking spot? Can I get in and out? You know, and you're suddenly like, wait, I don't know if that's really what makes a good
right.
game.
And then you're stressed
you
out.
No red light.
Right, exactly.
Okay, you won this secret competition that's meaningless.
Exactly, exactly.
And you missed all of the real competitions right before you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The most important ones. Right, exactly.
Yep, yep.
Well, I'm really excited about that too, because I've been reading in 2 Timothy actually, and there's a part in 2 Timothy 4 where Paul just exhorts Timothy to fulfill his ministry or to fulfill his calling, complete the calling. And I just feel like so many times we get the idea that our calling or someone else's calling is out there, and we don't look at the immediate, the right in front of us to see that that's part of our
yes.
calling as well. So, so I want to right now even encourage our listeners, hear what Amy is saying about the daily stuff and hear this, that we all have a calling to fulfill. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, we have a calling,
right.
and it's our daily walk with Him and how we live that out, how we live out the gospel around us in the grocery store, at the gas station, at our workplace, at our desk, when we're out playing, when we're doing yard work, whatever it is, we have a calling that we must fulfill to be fulfilled. I think that's important.
And one of the downsides, and this is very off of me living in China, but I think with social media, and I'm not a basher of social media, I love it,
mm-hmm.
but with the visual nature of it, with Pinterest and Instagram and just things that look so pretty,
mm-hmm.
we have somehow lost the beauty of the ordinary.
Oh, yes.
That if things are not, you know, and there's even that phrase, Pinterest worthy.
Right.
and to say, you know what? A simple phone call that no one else is going to bear witness. But to my neighbor,
mm-hmm.
that might look like nothing is happening. But I think again, like Jesus redefined everything. You know, you say whatever, murder is this. I say in your heart, da, da, da.
Mm-hmm.
You say adultery is this. And I think what he would say to our generation is, you say meaningful is this.
Mm-hmm.
I say it's these small, ordinary, supposedly unseen meaning
mm-hmm.
interactions. That's where meaning, true meaning and true significance lie.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to keep on with this story. I want to remind our listeners that I'm speaking with Amy Young of Velvet Ashes, and we are hearing a bit of Amy's story. And I want to move ahead here, Amy, with your story about you served in China
for
5 years, you said?
Well, no, it was a total of about 20 years.
Oh,
That's okay. Midway through, I switched from being the curriculum director to being our member care director.
Okay.
And in the mission world, what a member care director is really kind of everything related to the person outside of their job. So let's say you're having team stress, team interaction problems.
Mm-hmm.
Member care would come in and help. Let's say your mom back home is in a serious car accident and might die. Member care would help you think, is this a time that you need to get back to the States?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of help with all of the details. Let's say you are experiencing depression or a lot of anger or anxiety on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Member care would come in and help with that. So sort of, as I said, everything related to you being a human
mm-hmm.
outside of your specific job. So if you're a banker or a teacher or an accountant,
mm-hmm.
they would kind of help with everything else but that. And I did that for a number of years. And then God called me back to the States to get a master's in counseling to mm-hmm. continue to help with that. So, and then I returned to the field and helped run a program where we had about 200 teachers at about 50 universities around China, and working with all elements. I helped with the training of them, the supervising, the member care, all of that. And then that season of my life was coming to a close,
mm-hmm.
and a colleague within my organization, Danielle Wheeler, contacted me and said, hey, what do you think about this idea? There are a lot of online communities for Christian women, but there's none specifically geared for missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
And it just clicked. I had started blogging and seeing the power of technology, be it social media or a blog, to connect people who, and that there could be genuine connection. Mm-hmm. It's not the same as in person, but it's still genuine and meaningful. And so three of us, Danielle Wheeler, Patty Stallings, and myself, mm-hmm. behind the scenes brainstormed and launched Velvet Ashes. So I don't know what would be helpful to know about that. I'm happy to. I could talk about anything, but I understand.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I think it would be important. The name Velvet Ashes is very intriguing to me. And I think I asked you about this when we were in Costa Rica. So yes. If you would just tell our listeners, what does that mean? Where did you get that name? Sure. And what does it mean?
Oh, my word. Because naming an organization is like naming a baby. It's hard.
Right.
You feel the holy weight of it and
exactly.
responsibility. And of course you could always change names, but you're birthing something
mm-hmm.
and you know that names mean something and they carry stories and they,
right.
yes. So that actually took a lot longer than you would think. but when we finally hit on it, that was just like, that is it. That mm-hmm. is it. The Velvet Ash is in the ash tree family.
Mm-hmm.
So Velvet Ashes, obviously, then are, it's like a grove of trees.
Okay.
But the Velvet Ash tree, why we were drawn to it, is it thrives in unlikely places.
Hmm.
And that just resonated with us. That is our hope for women on the mission field, that they are thriving in an unlikely place. And whether it's a hard season, thriving doesn't mean like everything is rosy and wonderful and easy.
Say that again.
Thriving doesn't mean everything is rosy and wonderful and easy.
All right.
Again, I think we confuse thriving mm-hmm. means like, oh, easy and good and I'm enjoying it.
Right, right. I want to make sure that our listeners really got that, because I think that's a very important point, that sometimes we are deceived into thinking that we're not thriving if we feel like we're in a desert place or a quiet place or even a place of sorrow. And I think it's in those times that God can do some really deep and meaningful work in us in those places of desert and mourning and grief. And then we understand even more how to rejoice in the beautiful places.
Well, that's it exactly, Sandy, is I think, again, that's a word, thriving, that at least I can say I unconsciously have always associated it with, like, I'm enjoying this or everything is great.
Mm-hmm.
And to say God defines it, you can thrive even when your husband's having cancer.
Mm.
It's going to look different than thriving when, you know, you've had a new baby and everything's wonderful. Like, that thriving is going to look differently.
For each person.
But that was just for each person and even within each person, within each stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
I know my thriving now middle of my life looks different than it would have in early adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And that it would look as I continue to age. But God is still present and God is still working and God is still good
mm-hmm.
in each phase of my life.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478. 2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.